Hello everyone, this is Alex from redlemonclub.com. You are listening to episode number 15 of the Red Lemon Show. We are steaming ahead. I know that some of you who like to listen regularly might have missed me for the last few days. I haven't been strictly consistent. I've got a few other things that I have been trying to do, but I am going to try and make it up to you with a fantastic episode today. We're going to be talking about how to combine making your best creative work, the stuff that really brings you to life, the stuff that you love to do, the stuff that you are proud to share with the world, and combining that kind of work with money, with work that makes you money, and being involved in a sort of client situation, you know, where you're selling your services. Is it even possible to create your best work when you're working with clients and customers? Or is there always this thing hanging over you that because you're working for money, it's going to infect and poison the creative work? Well, I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit. First of all, I wanted to thank you guys for joining and listening to my, as I call them, dulcet English tones. It's always a pleasure to have you guys there. It's always a pleasure to hear the positive feedback as well as the negative stuff that I get. I am getting some haters here and there. I am being told that I'm getting a bit rambly in places and not getting to the point. By the way, do let me know if I ramble too much, because I'm still very much an infant in the podcasting world, and I need to know as much brutal feedback as possible in terms of how I can improve this situation. I know that things are not tip-top. I could have a better video setup. I could have a better audio setup. I could interview more people. They're coming, so be patient. But things are going to improve as I go along. My communication style is going to improve. There's going to be all kinds of improvements as I move. But the more you guys chuck me messages telling me what to do and how to do it better the flow is going to be. Go to redlemonclub.com right now if you haven't been there in your life before. It'll change your life. There are lots of articles that cover everything to do with building your creative business, being more productive, being more motivated, being happier in general, making more money. It's all there. Have a look at the articles. Subscribe to the newsletter. You get a free ebook. You get tons of free stuff and bonus content that you don't get anywhere else when you are signed up to that newsletter. So make sure you do. Subscribe to the Red Lemon Show podcast anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts. It could be through Stitcher. It could be through iTunes. It could be through Anchor.fm. It could be through Google, what is it? Google Bots, Pods, Cast Bots, whatever it is. I mean, wherever you want to listen to this podcast, please make sure that you are hooked up to it so that you don't miss future episodes. The next thing I wanted to go into is this episode's featured creative. I like to give a little nod to people working in the creative industries, the artistic sphere, and direct some attention over to you guys. And if you want to be considered for being featured in future Red Lemon Show episodes, send me an email at shoutout@redlemonclub.com. That's shoutout@redlemonclub.com, and I will have a look through the suggestions and mention a creative in hopefully an unbiased and random way. I can't guarantee that I will, but I will try my best to, whatever that means. And let's move into the actual featured creative for today, who is Amir Abu Rumier, who is I'm not sure where he's from, but he's based in Vienna in Austria. And I was just looking through his About Me page, and it turns out that he lives in a part of Austria just outside of the center, just outside of Vienna, where I used to live when I was a little nipper, when I was about, how old would I have been? 5-6 years old. My dad and family used to live there, a place called Klosterneuburg in Vienna. Really nice place, just outside of the city, where there are lots of hills and mountains around there, really beautiful, quite spacious and open space. And we used to live there. My dad worked for the UN at the time. And I went to international school, and I had lots of pleasant memories from living in Austria. And my mum, incidentally, is Austrian, so that makes me half Austrian. So I'm a bit of a half breed, half English, half Austrian. But that's really interesting to know that he also lives in Klosterneuburg. Anyway, have a look at Amir's website. It's Amir. So it's kind of a tricky one to relay to you guys, but it's basically spelt Amir Abu Rumier, or Rumi, redlemonclub.com. And he does these really cool, very stylized digital illustrations of all kinds of things like birds and cool, funny characters and very pleasant, uplifting stuff. Really nice style, nice, strong portfolio, and worth a look. And if you guys go there, make sure that you you share his work and mention that he was featured in the Red Lemon Show. Give him a hand. We want to help each other out in the Red Lemon tribe. That would be awesome of you. So let's move into the main topic of this podcast before I ramble on too much. And that is to talk about the overlap, the intersection of doing work that we love to do, that brings us to life, that is worth doing, that matters because it keeps us motivated and keeps us excited, and it's work that we are proud to deliver. And bringing that kind of work to a business environment whereby we are looking to make money from the work that we do. Is it possible to create work that we love, our best work, whilst making money from it, whilst working with clients, whilst having a brief that we're looking through from clients? I say that it is. In some cases, you might be working with a terrible client who is, you know, not the sort of person you want to be with, be around, who's very negative, whatever it is, isn't paying you enough, and that will definitely impact the quality of your work. And you might just want to kind of get it done as quickly as possible, and it's not even your best work. It's boring stuff that does not bring you to life, which is what we're going to come to. But I think there are two aspects of making this work. There are two things to think about for when it comes to moving towards the kind of work that you want to do while being paid well for it. The first thing is mindset. The first aspect of it is the way that you think about doing your best work with clients or with customers. And this is something that I would imagine doesn't affect craftspeople as much as it does service providers. So an artist who spends time in a studio creating expressive paintings is probably not going to have this issue as much as someone who is working, you know, directly with clients on briefs, like a graphic designer or illustrators or sound designers or editors, whatever. It's going to be a lot harder to find that sort of magical work, that magical medium of great work and being paid for it, being paid well for it. But in either way, it's something worth considering. So mindset is the first aspect. And I always say that when you're dealing with clients, when you're working with clients, people ask, do you work for an audience? Do you create work for somebody else, or do you do it for yourself? And I always talk about the importance of creating for you and the importance of creating stuff that brings you to life, that excites you. But how do you do that if you're creating for someone else's brief? Well, the way that you would do that is to think about it in a slightly different way. You need to still be creating work that brings you to life, that you love to do, that is your best work. That's what you should be striving for in every project. You need to be doing work that you are pushing on all cylinders for, that is towards the highest level of quality, the highest sort of level of expression that you can do. But then you've got to do it within the confines of what the client has given you in the brief. That's the thing. For personal work, you're creating something with no confines. There's no limit to the expression that you can bring to the piece. And that's why personal work is so fun, because you can be ultra expressive with the work, and you can do whatever you like. You can cover any content you like. But think about it this way. If a client gives you a brief in something, you have a limit now in place. There's a boundary that has been set for the kind of creative work that you need to do. But that's a good thing, because creativity comes out of limits. You know, creative, expressive stuff is actually more, is going to be more refined, more bold, I suppose, when there's a limit applied to it. This is how creativity starts. The more refined and niche the focus, the more creative things tend to be. So think about it that way. So when a client gives you a brief, you need to have that brief define the space in which you can work at your most creative, at your best. So you need to be going into every project with clients with the intention of creating your absolute best work and making the most of whatever situation it is. Obviously, you know, low-paying clients who have given you a tedious project to work on in too short an amount of time, it's going to lead to, I suppose short time is probably not the issue here, but there are certain jobs that you're going to get, especially if you're desperate and you need work, that are not going to be all that fun, and it's going to be very difficult to kind of come to life and express yourself through those kinds of jobs. They're just tedious jobs. We'll come to that because it's all about, you know, arranging your life around work that you actually do want to work on with clients you do want to work with. But when you go into any job, try and turn it into a positive and see every job as a challenge that can be turned into something amazing. You want to be blowing every client out of the water, okay? You want to be surprising the crap out of people, no matter how lowly they seem to be to you. You want to always be over delivering, and that's fun. That leads to creativity. How can you make something mind blowing? I know that certain clients do not inspire you to want to work really amazingly for them, but you're always going to bring positives in that way. You might find that they will refer you to other people, and it'll lead to other projects, and you'll develop this reputation with others, and not only with others but also with yourself, as someone who over-delivers and creates something amazing. So that is one way of creating your best work when dealing with clients, is always to make good out of what is bad in the situation, but also to think of it in terms of the client is creating a boundary, and you still need to create for yourself within that boundary. So allow clients to create the brief, and then think about it in terms of what you want to do for yourself. So always be ultimately creating for you, creating with your own emotional drive, with your own feeling, with your own gut. I know that can be challenging for certain projects, but just see what that does for you. See what thinking in that way does. Like, so rather than like grudgingly sort of responding to a client brief and saying, all right, I'll do it, you know, and you sort of do it mediocrely, and then that will lead to a reputation of being a bit sluggish. You want to go into every project with all that you have, and you want to make something creative out of whatever you have, given the confinement that you're dealing with, okay? So do the best with what you've got, but also ultimately, no matter what the project is, create for yourself. Create something that you love to do somehow. You've got to find a way of loving it, okay? That's one aspect. That's the mindset aspect. The other part of this is the strategy to get yourself working with the kinds of clients you actually want to work with, okay? When you can start working with people that you love, people that inspire you, people that you want to help, people that you are on the same path in terms of the values and ethics that you uphold, then it starts getting a bit more interesting. Then you can start really more effortlessly create work that is your best work, that brings you to life, that you love to do. And that's what's going to really motivate you to continue building and growing your business and finding more of those clients and making more money. And it all sort of spirals into a very positive, uplifting arrangement. So how do we find those dream clients and customers? Because there are two sides to it. It's creating work that brings you to life that you love to do, but also working for clients that you love to work with. You're going to be that much more inspired, that much more energetic, that much more enthusiastic about creating something that's going to knock people's socks off. That's going to really, really impress people. Because, I mean, it's not really about impressing. I always say, do not impress, just create something amazing. There's a difference there. But if you're working with someone amazing, if you're working with a client that you've just loved, you know, the company or people that you love to work with, that inspires you, that you're excited to tell other people about, that, you know, you're like, oh, guess who I'm working with, you know, that kind of a person. That's going to really motivate you to create your best work. Let's say best work, shall we? So how do we find those people? This is basically, we're talking about the very first step in the process of getting clients, and that is to specify what kinds of people that you want to work with. You want to be demarcating, you want to be creating a kind of zone in which you identify those kinds of people with particular traits that you rate as the most desirable, more than any other, that you also use as a kind of litmus test for when it comes to saying no to certain clients that come along as well. It's a sort of, as Michael Port, if you check him out, he's really good on all this stuff. He calls it the red velvet rope policy, which is to have a kind of a zone in which you have identified a specific type of client with specific personality traits and values and ethics, who you focus on really bringing value to and focus on bringing into your business as like priority clients, priority customers. Okay, so you've got to be thinking about who those people are. And it might take a while through, especially if you're new to the business and you haven't got much credibility yet and you're still inexperienced, it might take a while to start replacing crappy previous clients or just filling it up to start with. So you need to be asking certain types of questions that bring you to a more clear understanding of who your ideal clients are going to be. Because when you start knowing the personality traits and the characteristics of these people, then you're going to start thinking, okay, then now I know where to find these people. Now I know how to talk to them. Now I know what kinds of problems these people have, so I can deliver my solution to them in a way that makes sense to them, if that makes sense. And then I can start defining, okay, what kinds of businesses do these people work in? What kinds of industries do they work in? Where do they hang out? Who are their friends? What social networks do they hang out on? Okay, but it starts with just getting clear to yourself about who these kinds of people are at a very personal level. Okay, so you want to ask yourself things like, what are the kinds of people I like to hang around with? What are the kinds of people that I want to, like, I'm driven to go out and meet? What are the kinds of places I like to hang around people at? And let's not get too dodgy here, okay? But think about things like, what kinds of cultural aspects? What kinds of things do people like to go and see? What kinds of movies? What kinds of, do they like to go to the theater? What kinds of places do they like to hang out at? What kinds of things do they like to talk about? What kinds of topics do you like to bring out with certain, what kinds of conversations have you had in the past with people that you really enjoyed? What kinds of people do you like to talk with? What kinds of friends do you have that you like that bring you to life? What kinds of ethics do they have? What kinds of missions do they have? What kinds of goals do they have? Are they the kinds of people that like to hang around all day just sort of sitting in their pajamas watching Netflix? Or are they the kinds of people who are more ambitious? What kinds of ethical standards do they have? What kinds of values do they uphold? And what do they talk about? What kinds of things do they think about? So think about all those things. Write yourself all these questions out for yourself and get clear on what kinds of people you want to be working with. And again, this isn't to do with the businesses or the industries yet. This is to do with the specific people, because ultimately business is about the people that you are interacting with. You need to sell to people. You need to market to people. You're not marketing to businesses. You're not marketing to an industry. You are selling and working with and interacting with real people. So think about who they are and what kinds of things they like to do and what it is about them that you love that brings you to them. And another thing you can do is also to, if you've got current clients or if you've worked with clients in the past, think about the ones who led, think about the jobs you've had that you loved the most, and think about the ones that you really didn't like. And think about what kinds of people you remember as memorable and enjoyable to work with in your career trajectory, in your history, and what it was about them that you liked, and what kinds of things they did, what kinds of talents they had, what kinds of things did they do that really interested you, what kinds of projects were they excited about that also drew you in. Whatever it is, what about those people that you've worked with did you like? And how could you emulate that into the future? Okay, again, it's still very personal. It's basically identifying friendships. This is kind of what it comes down to, is the whole process of getting clients is about making friendships. And you need to be discerning. We have a short life, we've got to be discerning about our friends, and Friendships also apply to the clients that you work with. And when you're working with friends and people that excite you and people that support you and bring you to life and pay you well for that, then you're really talking, because that's what's going to lead to great, effective work. So think about those past jobs that you've had. Think about those moments in your life that you've been brought to life through other people, and think about how you can start to work with those kinds of people more. Ultimately, it's really about energy and being brought to life through certain energy sparks. What are the sparks in your life? What kinds of people lead to those sparks? So you also want to think about when you create your best work in the past. So think about those moments where you really went hell for leather into a project and you were just completely engaged and in the flow, especially those client projects or customer projects or things that were paid. What kinds of conditions surrounded those jobs? What happened to make you work the way that you did? You know, when you had that job where you were so excited to really show them something great. You were so excited to give this client, this customer, the best thing that they could have asked for. And when they did see it and they loved it, you felt amazing. What kinds of people were they? Who were they? What kinds of companies? Where did this happen? Why did that come about? What was the thing that you were working on? What kind of project was it? These are all these variables that contribute to your aliveness. And it's all about aliveness. It's all about energy. So how can we recreate that? Think also about those clients that have gone in the other direction. Who are the people that you've worked with that have just brought you down? I'm sorry to bring you into the darkness, guys, but we have to think about the darker stuff because we want to get rid of it. Who are the duds? Who are the crappy clients that you need to avoid? Again, think about energy levels. Who are the vampires? Who sucked you of energy? Who just put you through a process of work that you just never want to repeat again? And who are you working for right now, possibly on repeat jobs, that need to go? This is where it comes down to pruning, and this is something that you need to be doing constantly through your cycle of working with other people, is finding the best ones, the ones that fit inside your red velvet rope zone, and pruning the ones that are just sort of sucking you of energy and not bringing you the fulfillment and the best work that you could work on. Get rid of those guys and think about those ideal clients. There's so much more I can talk about this, because knowing these characteristics and knowing the conditions surrounding you doing your best work is going to point you in the direction of where your target clients are going to be. Now, there is a difference between ideal clients and target clients, okay? Your ideal client describes personalities, it describes culture, it describes the things that people like to talk about. It's more of a sort of personal aspect of potential people that you could be working with. But your target client is when it starts getting a bit more into the business side. It starts getting into the kind of the demographic side as well, I suppose, and it gets a little bit more concrete about what kinds of businesses these people are working in, what kinds of sectors of industries they're working in. And then that will create the clarity for the next step that you need in order to go out there and get in front of those people who have not only the ideal characteristics that you're looking for, but also the money, the jobs, the opportunities. Okay, so that's all part of this process of identifying those target clients so that you can then bring your services and products to those people. You've got to figure out where the money is and where the life is. Where are the friends that you want to work with? Who are the people that you would love to work with? And what kinds of places do they work at? Okay. Money is a big part of it, but you've got to try and figure out that balance. And there is that balance does exist out there. There are people that you want to work with, that you love, who also have the money to pay you for it. You just got to figure that stuff out. And that comes through asking questions. That comes through getting real about the traits that these people have through the questions that you ask, and thinking creatively and going a little bit deeper into the kinds of people that you want to be working with. You've got to get discerning, guys, about the kinds of people you want to bring into your life, because they are the ones that are going to give you energy that's going to lead to money and your best work, hopefully combined. So let's just do a little recap of what I've been jabbering on about, hey folks. Basically, there are two aspects to think about, to take action on, when it comes to doing your best work and getting paid for it. The first is to have the mindset of ultimately doing work for yourself within the confines of what a client is asking you to do, or what an audience is expecting of you, or what your target market wants from you. So you've got to be thinking of two sides: what you like to do and what brings you to life that energizes you, and what the client needs, and then combining those two. And of course, and you can, because the client creates the sort of structure, the boundary within which you are creating the work for yourself. Okay? It's very difficult to create emotional stuff when it's only for a group of people. But as I go on to say, if you have a specific client that you would love to work with, it makes it a lot easier. And you combine that with creating work for yourself, you have a double whammy. So it's, you're creating work that you love to do that brings you to life, and you're also creating work that is ideal for a certain type of client. So that comes from identifying who those kinds of people are, what they're like, what they like to talk about. If you have any questions about all this stuff, I know that I've spewed out a lot of info for you. I think it makes sense. I don't know about you. But always keen to hear about what you think about these things, and whether it makes sense, and whether I'm sort of skimming over things too quickly, or whatever it is. But I hope that makes sense. And as you've seen, this is really the first step in the full process of getting clients, because we haven't discussed target market closely yet. We haven't really gone into the more refined market research aspect of getting clients. We haven't talked about branding. We haven't talked about positioning yourself in the field. We haven't talked about presentation and ultimately closing, you know, building trust with those clients, creating those relationships, and explaining to them why you are a good fit for them and why they would want to work with you, and making sure that you understand what they're looking for, which will then ultimately lead to that closed sale, which you will need to push for as well. But I talk about all this stuff in, I'm going to share a lot more about this through a course that I'm putting together. And I'm also opening up some very, very limited coaching, very, very low cost coaching, because I want to get together a handful of guinea pigs who are going to be working with me on this course that is going to ultimately lead to getting more clients, especially the types of clients that you love to work with. It's literally going to be open for like 6 or 7 of you. So if you hear this, respond ASAP, because by the time you listen to this, it might already be too late. But I'm doing this podcast in late September 2018, and it's only going to be this coaching offer is only going to be available for a few more days. So if you hear this, do send me an email. Let me know if you're interested in one-to-one coaching, whereby I have a chat with you on Skype or wherever, and I help you with the client acquisition process, getting new clients that you love to work with. But I also, like, the reason I'm offering it for such a low price is because it's a kind of guinea pig beta testing process. But it's not, that's not to say that you won't benefit hugely from this and start landing clients quickly. I know that I can do that for you. So let me know if you're interested in being a guinea pig with me. It's going to be a couple of 2 or 3 calls, I think. Low cost. Send me an email at alex@redlemonclub.com. I may very well open up this kind of coaching later on. So if you're watching this later in 2018, 19 plus, send me an email anyway, and I will respond, of course. I always do. And I think we're going to leave it at that, folks. Hope that was useful. Make sure that you have followed redlemonclub.com newsletter. Plenty of extra bonuses and goodies that you get there that you don't get anywhere else, including updates on what's coming out through Red Lemon Club. Grow your creative business. The aim behind Red Lemon Club is really to not only grow your creative business, but to take every aspect of your life up, to just uplift, explode, expand, build happiness, build confidence, get over those anxieties, market yourself better, make more money. This is one of the few sites, one of the few brands that helps creative that is outspoken about the need to create a lot of money. We got to build wealth, folks. We don't want to sort of amble along being those starving artists, just getting by. I want to help you guys make a lot of money, do fulfilling work with great clients, the whole shebang. So keep following Red Lemon Club for more ideas about that. More courses are going to be coming out, more videos, podcasts about all this kind of stuff going to be shared soon. So keep in touch. Make sure you follow this, like this, subscribe to this wherever you're listening or watching. Some of you might be listening, but there's actually a video version of this with me just sort of sitting in front of a white wall for the time being that you can watch on YouTube or Facebook. Subscribe, share this with your friends. It's greatly appreciated. If you've got friends who share similar values to you and want to, you know, amplify their creative business or their art or sell more art, whatever it is, including just other entrepreneurs as well, do send this link to them. I would greatly appreciate that. It really helps Red Lemon Club's tribe continue to grow, which I know that it will be. It will do, and that's what I'm pushing for as well. I want to get this tribe going. Speaking of tribes, make sure that you've signed up to the Slack group, the Red Lemon Club online community. It's a place that everyone, that creatives from all corners of the creative world come together. Also entrepreneurs, coders, blockchain enthusiasts, we all come together and chat. And it allows us to sort of get outside of our particular bubbles and hear new insights from interesting people and support each other and hold each other accountable on goals and that kind of stuff. So go to redlemonclub.com/slack, S-L-A-C-K, to sign up through a quick survey, and we will welcome you with open arms to this, to our little tribe online over there. So hope that helped, guys. I will see you in the next podcast.